And now, our feature presentation.
I like it spooky.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the I Like It Spooky Horror Podcast. I'm Brian.
I am Clint, and as of this recording, it's the day before Easter, so I feel I have to get something off my chest, Brian, and tell everybody a story. It's story time.
Oh, story time with Clint. How much fun.
So years ago, we're talking maybe 20 years ago, it was a Saturday night. I was driving somewhere by myself. I'd probably been drinking, and I ran over a rabbit on accident and killed it the day before Easter.
Rabbit stew for Easter?
I went back and picked it up and...
Rabbit legs? Would it be like frog legs, but rabbit legs?
I don't know, it tasted like chicken. All I know is every Easter, that rabbit fucking haunts me, because I killed the fucking Easter bunny the day before Easter.
Yet kids' baskets still show up.
They do, which is what we're going to talk about while we're poor later, but I don't know. It's just kind of like a bad omen. It's bad luck, you know, because isn't like Easter and the bunny like a sign of fertility? And I have not been lucky in love since.
No.
Wah.
Is there like a incantation you can do, like with a rabbit, and bring it back?
That's a damn good idea. We know enough people in weird ass fucking places. I never thought about that. I'm going to start researching and asking around.
We could do like a late night with Clint, but we're summoning an Easter bunny.
Whoa. We just figured out the sequel.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, before we get into studying how to bring back dead animals and change my love life luck, let's get to some news.
So I got two things I wanted to talk about this episode. First thing, more Godzilla news from me. That's surprising.
Jesus Christ, not more Godzilla. I mean, yay!
So the Music Box Theater in Chicago is celebrating 70 years of Godzilla with a 24-hour, 15-film marathon and more. It's Godzilla's birthday, or they're throwing a party. I don't know. They're partnering with the Japanese Arts Foundation June 7th through the 13th, and you're invited. Oh, here. Opening night, Shin Godzilla and Godzilla Minus One. That's on Friday. Saturday is the complete 24-hour marathon of all 15 Showa-era Godzilla movies. And then on Sunday, they're going to show a Technicolor 35mm print of Godzilla 1998. And then they'll have, you know, Return of Godzilla and screenings of the original Godzilla with an author, a screening of a Godzilla vs. Biollante with some shorts, all kinds of other stuff. You can go over to Bloody Disgusting, or you can go to the Music Box Theater's website. Check out all the cool Godzilla stuff they're doing. I mean, it'd probably be fun, even if you don't like Godzilla. Or maybe not fun if you don't like Godzilla.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, despite my joking negative tone, I think I shared this article to our news chat. And I also shared it with Brian Clark, who was our guest on our last episode when we covered Son of Godzilla. He was excited because he said, yeah, that's happening like right before G-Fest in Chicago. And I told him, I said, I love when things like this pop up that coincide with movies that we cover to keep everything fresh and timely. And that's a big deal. That's a pretty cool film festival. And like I had said when we did the Son of Godzilla episode, so far I haven't found anything in the Godzilla universe that I really gravitate towards. So I've been thinking about going and exploring the Mechagodzilla stuff. So it sounds like this festival is going to have a little slice of kind of all their flavors for people to sample, which fantastic.
Yeah, you're pretty story driven, so you would probably like the Godzilla Minus One and the Shin Godzilla, the newer stuff, but it's all in Japanese, so it's not been dubbed or anything, but the story is good.
Are there at least subtitles?
Yeah, so you'd have to, you know, read. I don't know, maybe that'd help. Maybe it'd hurt. Hell, I don't know.
I've never been a fan of subtitles because it takes me away from actually watching the movie. I do know how to read. I know how to read. I just don't like to. What else you got?
So my other story, Monster Mash with Michael Madsen, assembles its own monster squad. So this just looks fun. I mean, it's low budget. It's got Michael Madsen in it. It looks like it's already out. Maybe it comes out March 29th, so it's already out. It's from the Asylum. Yeah, it's just looks like Victor Frankenstein surrounded by the mummy and the invisible man and the wolf man and Dracula and Frankenstein. And yeah, it says you can watch the Monster Mash trailer now, but it says Monster Squad. It is not, to say the least. Low budget mashup, you know, where a computer generated wolfman will wreak havoc. I mean, it looks fun.
What has my interest about this is outside of his role in the Free Willy franchise, Michael Madsen always plays that cool cat, anti-hero, edgy, almost like pulp noir kind of character. And so I wonder if this is going to have that tone. And it would be two of my favorite worlds mashing, which is kind of what I thought we were going to get with Naked Lunch when we covered that a few episodes back. And it wasn't. Yeah, I hope this is going to be fun and have that dark kind of edginess to it also.
I think one of the things that we're finding, especially now with the news, is you can pull up Bloody Disgusting. You can pull up a myriad of websites, RuMorgue, anything every day and find new news on stuff in horror. And I done a TikTok video the other day and I was pleading with people pretty much enjoy this time in your life if you're a horror fan. Because yesterday, Joe Bob was on. Godzilla vs. Kong's in theaters. Ghostbusters is in theaters. Late White Night with the Devil's in theaters. Immaculate's in theaters. You walk into any Walmart or Target and there's horror figures on shelf. Fright Rags is putting stuff out. Arrow is having a sale. Terror Vision's putting stuff out. This is like the golden age, and we've talked about that before. This is a golden age of horror, and even people I work with are like, I did not realize the scope of scary movies or horror movies was as big as it is until I started working with you. And I was like, it's everywhere. It's bleeding into the fabric of our culture as we speak. And I feel like more and more people are coming to it. And if you have kids that like horror movies, take them to see Ghostbusters. Show them Ghostbusters. It's a kid's movie to me. Like, it's perfect gateway horror. We're just so lucky that we're alive right now and to get to enjoy this.
I agree with everything you just said. And yeah, we've talked about it before. I've shared the same sentiment on past episodes. Another, you just kind of mentioned a lot of the newer stuff. I always plug old episodes, but at the beginning of this year, we did the look ahead and it was kind of lackluster, but there are things popping up through the cracks. And we had mentioned that would probably happen too, that I am finding enjoyable. And something you didn't mention was when I went and saw Late Night with the Devil, there was a trailer for Annabelle, I think it is. Did you see that trailer?
Yep.
It's where like the people get locked in the house, almost kind of like House in Haunted Hill style, but come to find out she's a vampire and they were brought there to be her food. It looked fun. It looked scary. It looked smart. So that's another one that just kind of came out of nowhere. But you're right. Horror is everywhere. It's kind of in the mainstream right now. I wonder if part of that is due to the after effect of the strike, because horror is always kind of the redheaded stepchild, but it's also always the go-to save us. We need some money. So it's just kind of a double-edged sword, you know, but it's funny. It made me think of this. I just shared this on my Facebook page right before we started recording, and it was from Patton Oswalt. He tweeted out, like, he's talking to Ghostface, and Ghostface says, what's your scary movie, or what's your favorite scary movie? And he says, well, I just binged the works of Armando de Osorio. His quartet of Blind Dead films started the Spanish horror boom of the 1970s. What they lack in characterization, they make up for in mood. Plus, Ghostface just goes, Jesus, and hangs up. You know. But why I say that is it's funny and it's timely. It goes along with what you're saying, the scope. The scope is massive. It is not just Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. There is so much out there to consume. Hell, we started a whole new subcast, Indie Spotlight, just to cover things that people that we've never heard of that get brought to our light.
So what do you got for news? Anything exciting?
Well, you just like perfectly segued into my news, which is an article from Bloody Disgusting. And it is about that Skydance is launching an all horror label with Andy and Barbara Muschietti. And it's going to be called Nocturna. It says here that every studio wants a piece of the profitable horror pie. And it looks like Skydance is no exception. So they're launching this Nocturna. Andy and Barbara Muschietti, they are from It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, and they've got some projects lined up. They're going to be doing two films per year. The first project from the Nocturna team will be a film titled They Will Kill You, which has Krill Sokolov from Why Don't You Just Die on board to co-write and direct. You know, you could read through the article. I'll actually share this on the I Like It Spooky Horror Podcast Facebook page. This is what I've been talking about the past few episodes, is we need new horror. We need new production companies. We need new all horror divisions to keep everything going, to keep this golden age that you were just talking about propelling into the future.
I mean, I'd have to ask somebody else that's maybe into comedies or action movies. Are there other genres that are pumping out movie after movie from independent indie artists?
You know, when you get on your Tubis and your Pluto TVs and stuff like that, you see a lot of genre films. It's all genre films. And it's usually your action and your thrillers and your sci-fi. But even those have kind of gone to the wayside. Things go in cycles. And I think we're just back into that cycle we were in the 70s and 80s of horror. I think it's back again.
One, I think one of the things that horror has that a lot of other subgenres don't have or genres don't have is Blood Car. We screened Blood Car at the Capitol Theater with Terrorvision, and the movie talks about in the not too distant future, gas is so expensive people can't drive. And it's like, well, it's only $4 a gallon right now, but in horror, stuff almost always at some point is like, wait a minute, that really happened.
What's scary is you said only $4, like you're accepting.
Well, yeah.
That's what's scary is you're being beaten into submission, Brian.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, once again, so far you've been teeing up the segues perfectly this episode because you start talking about money. And that reminds me that I can't afford fucking gas because I'm poor.
So on this episode of Why Are We Poor? Got some movies from Vinegar Syndrome, and I got some records from Waxwork. Yeah, Waxwork Records. So the first movie, Singapore Sling. What do you think of that case?
I love the chains. I love the eyeball. It definitely looks like it's about sexual bondage.
I think it is. Let's see. Dark, stormy night, a mother and daughter, a wealthy pair of psychopathic killers.
They put the ball gag in her mouth and say, shut the fuck up.
It's in black and white, too. And then we have Maya and Spectres, a double feature. There's a lot of hooks in the one.
Hooks or hookers? I saw two half-naked women and hands all over them.
Maybe a little bit of both. And then on 4K, Dr. Terror's House of Horrors from 1965.
So as of this recording, it's a pretty rainy day where I'm at right now. And that looks like a perfect rainy Saturday afternoon movie to put in and curl up on the couch. Maybe fall asleep halfway through because you're so comfortable. Then you have to like rewind it and watch it again.
It's got Christopher Lee, Roy Castle, and Peter Cushing in it. That's right up your alley.
That's Mount Rushmore stuff right there.
And then some records from Waxwork. These were packaged by Bones. They sent a little card that says who packaged your records. And Waxwork had a sale the other day. They were half price. So I picked up King Kong Escapes.
Thank you, Bones.
I think that one's green. Godzilla vs. Kong.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, that's a two. Hollow Earth colored vinyl. And Godzilla Singular Point, which is an animated. I think that's a two also. Two LP gram colored vinyl. I don't know what colors they are, but it's an animated one. And this one I've watched, but it's way over my head because the guy that wrote it is actually a scientist.
So it's sci-fi.
Well, and it's very deep. Like it's very, all the monsters and everything is like very educated, you know, like very hard to, and I think it's subtitled.
So they're past the biological hangups that we had with Son of Godzilla, and he's talking about shit like on a molecular level.
Yep. You're like, what? I got other stuff too, but hell, I'd be here all week if I showed everything I haven't shown for the last couple episodes.
I haven't seen or heard of anything from Waxwork in a while now. And maybe I just haven't been paying that much attention. I know I've been, you know, distracted with other things I've been doing, but I know that they recently announced that Rob Zombie thing and they put a few of those albums out. I've got the Spider Baby one. I've got one of them, but I've been waiting for the Last Man on Earth one to come out, and maybe it has and I missed it.
Yeah, they were having a sale on kaiju stuff with the new Godzilla movies coming out, but you haven't seen anything else horror-related anyway that's dropped from them lately.
Weird.
Let's see what's on their website here. Evil Dead 2.
Ooh.
Godzilla vs. Kong, New Empire. They still got My Bloody Valentine on there. Oh, they did drop the music of House of a Thousand Corpses, the words and music of...
No, but I'm looking for the Last Man on Earth one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that lately. I haven't seen anything about that one.
it's a perfect time to plug that if you know of anything about if or when Waxwork Records has dropped the Last Man on Earth album, email us at ilikeaspookypod@gmail.com.
Yeah, they have some of their Friday 13th stuff restock. That's always fun. I don't need to be shopping, Clint. I'm going to Kansas City. I need to save my money.
I'm trying to get you to allow me to shop for once.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
What you got?
Just one thing. This is kind of a sad story. So, okay, I talk about my local comic shop, Nostalgia Inc. in Jackson, Michigan, quite often. I had them holding the Creepshow comics for me. The reason I quit having them hold comics for me is because I forget about it, and I forgot about it. So it's been a couple months, and I felt terrible. But the reason I realized it was they shared a post on Facebook a couple days ago. Somebody, and they got them on camera, somebody smashed through their front door the other night and stole some stuff. So I saw the post and then I was immediately like, oh shit, I think I've got a comic down there. I better get down there. Got in there, was talking with Tim, the owner. He was behind the counter when I walked in and we were chatting about it. It's sad and unfortunate when anybody breaks into anything and steals people's stuff, but especially when it's a small business, you know what I mean? And that's what all these comic and bookshops are small business. And then he actually was telling me the story and then he posted video of it, all of how everything went down. This guy broke through the front door, big glass door. And I was like, did he get anything of value? And Tim's like, no, I rushed down here. I figured my computers would be gone, my slab comics, my collectibles, my toys. This guy smashes through the front door, has a garbage bag, grabs some, like, he flipped through the free comic bin and grabbed some free comics, grabbed some kids' coloring books, a couple. He basically did everything right inside the front door, which I shouldn't, I'm not trying to, give directions on how to, for people to steal, but newsflash, the good shit's not going to be right inside the front door, you Momo. So I was like, well, shit, he busted your fucking front door to get free comics. He could have just walked in for free and got for free, Pretty sad and unfortunate that happened, but it reminded me to go down and pick up my Creepshow comic. And that's what I got.
I think I picked up a Creepshow comic or something. Hell, I couldn't tell you where it's at. Oh, hold on. This one. I don't know if this is the one you have or one that you picked up.
Oh my God. See, I forgot about Wolverton Station. No, I need to get that. Oh my God.
Our bookstore, Wordsmith Bookstore in Galesburg, Illinois, ordered Scream Magazine for me. I don't even know what this one is. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Jaws 3D, Halloween H2O 25 years later. And I was in the front and they had this. So I was like, well, I'll grab that.
When did you get that?
Hell, a couple weeks ago.
Ah, shit. It's probably all sold out.
Let's see. Here's my receipt. Sorry for the crinkling. March 24th.
I'm going to have to, when we get done recording, I'm going to have to run down there. Maybe I'll call and ask them if they got it. They can hold it for me. I forgot all about that Wolverton Station. That's a one-off. Not part, it's not a regular issue.
I just saw it said number one, and I know I'm not a big comic guy, but I know number ones are big deals, and it was Joe Hill. And, I mean, they just posted the other day that they've seen their sales really decline and that they're looking at maybe having to cut some staff and cut some hours. Business isn't doing well with, the economy right now.
I tell you what, I hate to be a harbinger here of bad news, but I've been paying attention and hopefully I'm wrong and maybe I'm reading too much into it. But for example, at my day job, they just let one of our part-time soups know that they're letting her go. And she's one of the few people that keep that place running. One of the few people I actually go to if I have an issue there. I've been reading about companies closing down, downsizing across the board. We're talking about corporate conglomerates. We're talking about median outfits. We're talking about mom and pops. Just the other day, we've got two malls by where I live. I went to the one because there's an FYE there, gone, closed down, didn't even know it. So like now in Jackson, Michigan, there is no record stores. You can go to Walmart and Target, but their selections are so junk, at least where I live. It's sad. I got to drive to Weirdsville Records, 2.5 hours away to get to a decent record store. There's some in between in Ann Arbor.
I order my magazines from there. I could probably get it cheaper through the mail or at Walmart. Don't carry fucking Scream Magazine. That's the first issue. But I like supporting them. They're cool. They ordered it for me. They can order any book, anything. You might pay, 50 cents more than you would pay on Amazon, but you don't get the experience from Amazon. It's on your front porch. You don't get to talk to anybody. You don't get to see people. I know that's not important to everybody, but it is to me. I enjoy the people that I talk to there and I know them.
It's all part of the community that you more so than me, but we preach on this show. Speaking of when I went down there the other day to grab my Creepshow comic, I know Tim. I've seen him. you know, I talk about the shop every once in a while. We have a commercial for him, but it's not like I've ever sat down and had a beer with the guy or whatever, you know what I mean? And I walk in, hadn't been in there in months, and I just walked in and said, oh, you start talking about the door getting smashed. And I said, yeah, it reminded me you got a comic held for me. And he looks at me and he goes right to my folder. And I'm thinking, how the fuck does he know who I am? You know what I mean? And turns around and he goes, here you go, Clint. And I'm just, it was nice. Cause just like you say, you don't get that from your Amazon, you know, like the dude knows who I am. I felt like a local celebrity for 5 minutes and we had that conversation. So it seems like everybody needs some money. We always need some money. We're talking about our comic shops. Let's take it to the sponsor commercial for the comic shops.
Yeah.
We here at the I Like It Spooky Horror Podcast would like to take a second to showcase our local comic and book shops. If you're in the Galesburg, Illinois area, make sure to visit the Wordsmith Bookshop located at 235 East Main Street in Galesburg, Illinois, because any place that will specifically order Scream Magazine for a customer is worth a visit. If you're in the Jackson, Michigan area, stop by Nostalgic Inc. located at 139 South Mechanic Street, who for over 35 years has been a destination stop for all of your comic, collectible, and table gaming needs.
Shop smart. Shop
local bookmarts.
So now that we've heard from our sponsor, it's time for our movie. The 2024...
Wait, we're doing something new? We haven't done anything new in a while.
Brand new.
You know what that means?
What?
Spoiler alert. The movie we are about to talk about is still in select theaters and coming to digital or, you know, streaming very soon. So if you have not seen this movie and you don't want to hear us talk about it, then stop this. Go watch the movie and come back. Or as always, if you want our expert, wink, wink, yeah, right, opinion, then listen and then go watch.
The movie, based on the live television event that shocked the nation. It's 1977, and Jack Del Roy is the host of Night Owls.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for a live television
I really don't think it's a good idea, Jack.
As we attempt to commune with the devil.
Syndicated late night talk show, but his ratings aren't doing very well, and Jack's about ready to get his ass canceled. So in Halloween of 77, he does something he shouldn't have fucking done. He invited the devil on his show.
By the way, the movie is called Late Night with the Devil.
You went and saw it a couple weeks ago on a weekend. I actually left work on a Tuesday night, drove about an hour to go see it, sat in the theater. There was people there. There was a couple people behind me and a family in front of me. Turned my phone off and enjoyed this movie for, it was about 2 hours, maybe total.
Hour and 33 minutes.
But with trailers and everything, about 2 hours. I had a blast. I mean, I enjoyed this movie immensely. This is something, I wouldn't say you need to see it in theaters, but I wouldn't tell you not to see it in theaters. I enjoyed it in the theater.
I agree completely. And actually, that's later on in my notes is I'm not mad that I went to see it in the theater. It was refreshing. But I also, just because of the feel of the movie, it reminded me of being a kid at my grandparents on the weekend, staying up late to watch Johnny Carson. So for me, I think I would have enjoyed it a little more if I was watching it at home, eating a bowl of ice cream with, you know, covered in caramel sauce or something. But yeah, definitely. Regardless where you choose to go see it, I recommend that you see it. It was only in, like, what is 1,034 theaters. So just select theaters across the country. It's an independent film from IFC.
Yeah, IFC and Shudder. You get the Shudder logo. And about 42 other production companies that have kept popping up before the movie. I'm like, is it time for the movie yet? You know, it's kind of like that joke that was it on like a Family Guy? Did you ever see that episode? You ever watch Family Guy?
No, not really.
There's an episode of Family Guy where it's like, over, he's like getting on a train and then it's the movie thing, and then he's flying a plane, it's the movie thing, then he stubs his toe and it's like Stub Toe Productions, you know, like it's like 5 minute long of all these production companies.
Yeah, anymore there's so many, especially when you get with an indie project. So speaking of those different production companies, I don't know if you found this entertaining, but there was the very first one was Good Fiend Films. And it was just the interesting X-ray goggle kind of opening. And it went, I believe it was like kind of like a claymation type thing, wasn't it? It was really cool. It was right off the bat. I was so entertained just by because it wasn't like just their logo. They had this little skit, this little marionette.
It helped that the trailers were good. All of the trailers looked interesting, you know, Sasquatch Sunset and In a Violent Nature. Was that one that played before?
I didn't see the Sasquatch one, but I saw In a Violent Nature. And of course, there was the Annabelle. And oh shit, there was one more too that was really good. It's been a while since I've seen a lot of good trailers.
Yeah, there was an A24 one that looked interesting. But the opening, it's set in a documentary style, kind of, or a found footage style. I wouldn't really call it found footage.
No, it was documentary, and it was 8 fucking minutes long.
So they open the movie, they're talking about how this was the last show of Night Owls with Jack Delroy. It was a Halloween episode, and the country was in turmoil. You know, there's a lot going on in 1977, and Jack Delroy and his crew are trying to overtake Johnny Carson and become the top late night show on TV. A lot of stuff had happened, and this is what they tried to do. You know, they tried to go above and beyond, and it didn't work well. I mean, it worked well for us, but it didn't go too well for, you know, Jack and his guests.
It was an interesting way to unveil the backstory, that 8-minute hook. But it seemed so long. So first of all, I did enjoy this movie, but I'm going to pick it apart. There is a lot of things about it that I was like, you know what I mean? It was entertaining. It was interesting, but it just kind of kept going and kept going. And it reminded me of back when we covered the dreaded Demoniacs. I had mentioned I didn't like in the beginning of Demoniacs, where it was like, here's the captain. He's the bad guy. Here's the vixen. She's crazy. And this was sort of similar, not quite that in your face and black and white and literal, although this was black and white. Let me figure some of it out. You don't need to give me all of the backstory. And it felt like it kind of dragged it down right off the bat. I also thought the synopsis was a little misleading, because it said the synopsis reads, a live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. So right off the bat, I'm thinking, okay, I know it's this exorcist. I know it's late night TV, live TV. And I thought that it was going to just possess everybody in the world. And maybe that was the ending of the movie or something. And it really wasn't that at all. It was a lot slower paced and more constrained than that concept.
I did like the show part of it, the Night Owls part of it. That was interesting. It's weird how they said it was found footage, but you get like in a documentary style, but then you get like off camera stuff that's going on. You wouldn't get that, you know, if it was just found footage. You would just get the show. You wouldn't get the backstage stuff and all that other stuff.
It was something that back when we covered Grave Encounters and they did that, oh, we found the tapes of the missing ghost hunters. That movie did it exquisitely as far as this is all the found footage that was left over on the tapes. With Late Night with the Devil, yeah, you supposedly they found the broadcast tapes that were shelved and no one knew existed anymore. But yeah, all the stuff in between they had to put in there to move the story. But there's no way that was actually filmed if there was a reality here. I agree, though. It was just like watching a late night television show. I love the Night Owl stuff. But you had, when they went to commercial breaks and you saw them talking backstage, it wasn't like this. But the bulk of the movie was the show. It was like you were watching late night TV. You had camera one, camera two, camera three, and so on. And you viewed the television portions, which was the bulk of the film, through those lenses. So it was very much like you were watching live television.
How do you think they could have done that without cutting away to stuff that wouldn't be recorded? You know, obviously there's some people that die in it and you wouldn't know that. I guess they maybe could have just done a better job of being on stage, and maybe Jack finds out that that person died by someone coming on stage and saying, hey, Jack,
that's what I was gonna say,
that person died. But it's from that camera angle of camera one, not him in the back room.
100% agree. Or if they did like maybe some security camera footage again, when, if I remember correctly, when you were watching it, like you were watching live television, it was in color. That really cool muted 70s. This thing did hit it out of the park with that 70s feel. But everything backstage was black and white. Am I right?
Yeah, I believe most of it was.
So they could have just kept it at a stationary angle and had a security camera. I did find out that the actual specific episodes of the Don Lane show from 1975 that inspired this horror movie were those that featured Uri Geller and Doris Stokes. So, you know, Uri Geller. I'm not familiar with Doris Stokes, but I didn't know that this was based off actual specific episodes. And the Don Lane show, if I remember correctly, is an Australian late night television show.
Oh, so that's something to go back and look. Are those on YouTube? Do you know?
I just discovered that maybe 20 minutes before we started recording. So
that'd be interesting to go back and watch those episodes and see how close they are to this. I did like some of the dry and humor too in this that was inserted, like some of the knocks on like Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah.
I was like, this is fucking hilarious. I mean, I didn't laugh out loud, but the more I thought about it, I was like, this asshole just like called out the two biggest people in paranormal and all the movies, especially now. They were calling them out like as a joke, maybe, or just kind of.
Well, it also made it timely, too, because Ed and Lorraine, that was their time, you know, when they were very active in investigating things. So, you know what it reminded me of as far as the comedy? Well, I shouldn't say that it's not really the comedy, but this reminded me in a way of, you talk about it all the time, one of your favorite films, WNUF.
Mm-hmm.
Except for there was story here in WNUF from everything that I saw. I never finished it. It was just commercial after. There was no story structure to it.
I mean, WNUF has a special place in my heart. It's the first movie that I covered as a podcast guest. So it kind of got me into podcasting. The first movie that I talked about on a podcast with, you know, with Brian Clark and Tad Good for on First Time Podcast. And I thought that too. WNUF and maybe a little Stay Tuned. I mean, Stay Tuned with John Ritter is like a really funny, goofy movie, but it kind of had a little bit of that in there too.
Maybe as an inspiration, maybe the filmmakers saw that movie and saw WNUF and like, you know what, we can, let's make something a little more serious, a little more scary. So they could be influences.
When you get the cult in this one, you get the, again, with everything that's going on right now, very timely, you know, the cult and the powerful people controlling things in Hollywood.
You're making me skip ahead of my notes here, but yeah, I said I think that the Epstein Island, Scientology, Illuminati type references were clever for the direction the filmmakers took the story. I was actually hoping this was going to be a more straightforward story. Although it's interesting because, again, like you say, that stuff's timely. I thought it just kind of muddled it. It just took the story a different direction than what I was hoping for.
Yeah, there was too much of it. The part at the beginning and the little bits of it, but it went too far. And that would be my knock on the movie is, especially towards the end, I don't need all that. I don't need all that muddled up at the end to make it me try to understand it as much as I like to try to understand movies. I don't need all that.
No, again, skipping ahead of my notes, the part of the actual ending that reveals the possibility that Jack actually murdered everyone in the room. I mean, it was interesting, but it added to the vagueness and interpretation. Repeat myself, I was expecting this to be a very literal film, which kind of takes me full circle to what I said in the beginning. And that is, I feel the synopsis is a little misleading.
I will show people this movie. I did enjoy it. I will, once it's streaming on Shudder, which it's streaming on Shudder April 19th, I will pull it up and I will watch it with Tiffany because I think she would like it too. It's one of those, it's not too bloody, it's not too scary. People that don't like horror, I feel like would enjoy this movie.
That's one thing I think if we ever come across, and I hope not. I never want to come across as a critic on this show. I don't want to be pretentious because I'm not, you know what I mean? At least I don't feel I am. But anyway, it's kind of hard for us because we're numb. So when we discuss movies, like we've already been numbed and beaten in the head with so many horror films that, but yeah, someone who is new to the genre or doesn't really watch a lot of horror films, this could be the best thing ever to them.
Because I think there's enough there for a horror fan to enjoy, but there's enough there comedy-wise and documentary-wise and style-wise, especially. Like you said, the style was amazing. The look of everything, the colors were beautiful. There's enough that even if you don't like scary movies, you're not going to hide your eyes from this, I wouldn't think. You know, it's not so bloody or so scary that you couldn't get through it.
Like you say, there wasn't much gore, but when it was present, it was front and center. And the whole hypnosis worm scene was fucking gory fantastic. I love that whole scene. I was finally like, oh, I'm getting some meat and potatoes. And it brought it at a point in the film where I wasn't bored, but it was kind of starting to lull. And it was kind of getting into an algorithm, kind of getting a little repetitive. And I'm like, eh. And then all of a sudden, this guy's ripping worms out of his stomach. And it was, and then I loved how they wrapped it up. Again, spoiler alert, how it didn't actually happen that everybody was, you know, mass hypnotized.
I love how people are saying that the lead actor did amazing on this. The guy that played Jack Delroy, his first name's David. I can't begin.
Desmalchian.
How he did great. But my favorite character is the cynic. You know, the guy with the mustache, the handlebar mustache. He did the best of anybody, I feel like.
He basically was the protagonist and he moved the story along. He moved everything along. I agree. He was a great character. I thought the acting was all well done, and the little girl was creepy. You could tell right off the bat that something was wrong with her. She did a great job of just making you feel uncomfortable. But yeah, the guy you're talking about, the cynic, I think he was a magician, and now he like debunks things like that. He was just phenomenal, phenomenal. But we should probably get to this part of the film. Let's address the elephant in the room. Let's address the AI involvement of this film.
So there were four flash scenes, I believe. Two of them, but they're the same and they're shown twice, that were computer AI generated.
And it's a lot of people, and I totally get it. I think Brian and I are both in the middle of this whole thing. I think he's a little more one way and I'm a little more the other way, but still we're both in the middle. But there's a lot of people who were like, there's no way I'm going to see this film. Telling people not to go see the film, don't set the precedent to where AI can be used. And I happen to agree with them. But I also feel that as far as AI, it's such a touchy subject because I know we're going to get some hate for this, but this is how I feel. Not going and seeing Late Night with the Devil is not going to stop the progression of AI. If it is something that you are adamantly against, then there are other things that you could or should be doing and worrying about. Just for example, like it kind of reminds me of the cancel culture thing a little bit where, you know, like 15 years ago, this actor said this or did this. Well, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching all their movies. You know what I mean? I might not support them in the way that I did if I don't agree with what they did, but I'm not going to, if that actor acted in my favorite movie, I'm not going to stop watching my favorite movie because 15 years ago they said something. So I feel this is kind of in that vague ballpark.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard spot for me because I use AI to make fun videos for the podcast YouTube channel. We don't make any money off of them. I'm not stealing anybody's job. But I'm sure some people don't like it. And I mean, with a low budget film, is AI, they saved a couple bucks here. They paid the actors maybe a little bit more. I mean, I don't know. It's hard. It's kind of like the bookshop. If I shop local, I'm supporting local. If I go to Amazon, it's maybe a little more convenient. It's right at my door. It's a couple dollars cheaper. So if you're going to tell me you don't support AI and you're not going to go see this movie, then you better not be buying everything from fucking Walmart and Amazon. You know what I mean? Like,
well, see, and me, I'm a little more anti-AI than you. Therefore, I don't use it. I make it a point to not goof around with that stuff. Plus, I'm old school. I probably couldn't figure it out anyway. Let's be honest. I'm not going to not see a film because there were, like you said, two or three cutaways for the "we'll be right back" network messages that were made with AI. So I'm going to read this real quick. And this isn't a statement that appeared in an article on Mashable.com and Variety. The filmmakers said, quote, "In conjunction with our amazing graphics and production design team, all of whom worked tirelessly to give this film the 70s aesthetic we had always imagined, we experimented with AI for three still images, which we edited further and ultimately appeared as very brief." I don't even know how to pronounce that word. See, I can't figure out how to say or use AI. I can't even say this word. Okay. "Very brief parts." There, that's how I paraphrased it. "In the film, we feel incredibly fortunate to have had such a talented and passionate crew, cast, and production team go above and beyond to help bring this film to life. We can't wait for everyone to see it for themselves this weekend."
Yeah, my hope is with AI that I work in healthcare, that at some point AI can do something to help people be healthier and get healthier and live longer. My goal with it is not to take people's jobs. That's not our goal on the podcast. It's not our goal for it to ever replace somebody as a co-host or in a movie or anything like that. Your hope would be that it would help people, like we talked about it at one point. They're using AI now to plug in a movie and say, when is the best time for this movie to come out and how can it make the most money? So, you know, maybe at some point AI is used to release a movie that would never have seen the light of day. That's a horror film. You hope it's beneficial.
I think the big argument and one of the reasons I'm a little more anti-AI than you, Brian, is because the fear that it is going to replace people. No one's going to go to, I was going to say a name, but I don't want to include him in case they don't want to be. No one's going to go to a specific artist, not going to go to that specific specific artist because they're going to use AI. That's what people are afraid of. Okay, so I'm not going to employ so-and-so anymore because I can just have the computer do it, take jobs away and stuff. So I get that aspect of it all. But I also look at it like the internet, which is a useful tool. Social media is a useful tool. But if you use it incorrectly, then it gets out of balance, and life's all about balance, then it's a problem. This specifically here, how they used it in this film, if there is truth to their statement, they used AI to generate these two or three images, and then they had people work on it to edit it to make it more like they wanted. So therefore, I view it as a tool. Now, if they would have put Brian and Clint are going to be the artists for this movie, they hired us, and they said, well, no, we don't need you anymore because the computer is going to do it for you. Well, then it's a fucking problem.
And I think what will ultimately happen is what has happened with CGI. Remember when CGI was like the big thing? Everything was CGI, everything CGI. Then there was this huge pushback for practical effects. And that'll what will happen with AI. It'll find its place. You can't practical effects King Kong and Godzilla. You can, but it's going to be a guy maybe in a Godzilla suit. You know, a lot of movies now are practical because it's cheaper. AI costs money. CGI costs money. It's not free. And it's only as good as the person running the program and the person putting the information in it. So if they're going to find out that mankind and humans are still the most talented and passionate artists because a computer doesn't have passion. You know, it doesn't have feelings. It doesn't make mistakes. How many artworks have you seen and you say, you don't even know. There's probably a mistake there somewhere that we find beautiful.
That's again why another reason why I'm a little more anti-AI, because I feel that those mistakes are what give it characteristics. You know, I fully embrace all of the, all of our problems as beauty. You know what I mean? But
and maybe, just maybe, the directors were like, oh, we want some free promotion for our movie. Let's throw some AI in there and tell everybody.
That could very well be.
And it's going to be all over the internet.
Yeah, there's no bad press. Bad press is good press, right? So kind of segueing out of this, the AI part of this conversation, there's a lot of scuttlebutt, so I felt we had to address it a little bit. Talking about CGI, once we arrive at the climax of this film, I loved, and I'm not a big CGI fan, I love practical effects, but I loved the simple and fairly original look of the split-faced demon girl when she is finally, like, her head splits open and there's flames coming out of it, and I absolutely loved it. That was not practical effects, or maybe it was practical and CGI, I don't know. Now, a friend of mine who went and saw it with me, they actually thought it was too alien, which I got what they were saying, but I loved it. But I wish the film would have ended right there. That would have been a perfect ending.
Yeah, don't add that last 15 minutes on. End it. I mean, maybe that was one of the issues. They needed something to fill it, but fill it with another fucking guest on the show, right? Throw somebody else in there on the show that could have filled that 15 minutes of banter back and forth. I don't need all that stuff at the end. I mean, the owl mask was cool. I don't need all the rest of that.
The owl mask was kind of cool. I actually thought that the person in the skeleton costume in the audience was going to be a part of something. Just was kind of that ominous. There were people in the live audience dressed, because it was Halloween night, so they're dressed up in costume. But there was one specific in this full skeleton costume that they even talked to during the broadcast and tried to interview, and they just sat there. And I was just like, they're going to be a part of this, and they weren't. So that was kind of sad. But
yeah, I think at the end they were standing, you know, in the group of people that were talking to Jack about being part of this cult, his sacrifices that he had to make.
See, and don't you feel, Brian, that if it would have ended right there, as opposed to the extra 10, 15 minutes where, again, it reveals the possibility, you kind of get more of the backstory, the ghost of his dead wife is there, and he's part of the cult, and it's almost like they gave him the tools, and he didn't do it in time, so they're, you know, taking his life or whatever. But then you find out that, like I said, where he actually killed everybody in the room. And which is that real? Which is real? What's the reality? Don't you feel that if they just would have left it with the split-faced demon girl staring into the camera, then they could have potentially had more a sequel?
And you don't feel bad for anybody. The little girl. But at some point, you don't feel bad for your main character because he brought this upon himself. He loses all that when you add that last 15 minutes in, because you find out he sacrificed his wife, even though he didn't know that it would cost him his wife. You know, you're messing with shit you shouldn't have been messing with.
Yeah, he was crying, saying it wasn't supposed to go like this. And that's the thing. David Dalsmalchian, his Jack character, did a really good job of being kind of the voice of reason throughout the whole movie. And I felt you actually kind of sided with him a little bit. bit. You knew that he was kind of a shit, you know, that he had this dark side where he was trying, but you got the sense that he cared, that he mourned his wife, that he cared about what was going on. And then you find out at the end that he was just a weasel.
Made a deal with the devil and he couldn't pay. They sent his ass to collections.
Well, he couldn't pay, but I paid to see the movie. And although it sounds like we didn't like it, I am happy that I paid to go see this movie. I will watch it when it comes out, streaming April 19th on Shudder. I'm going to post a link, a different link on the I Like It Spooky Horror Podcast Facebook page, because there's an ihorror.com article that shows when and where you can view it other places also.
Should we rate it?
Can I say this first?
Yeah.
In my opinion, Late Night with the Devil absolutely nailed the 70s vibe 100%. 100%. It just seemed like if they would have focused just a little more on a more clear and direct story, as opposed to that capturing that vibe, just had a little more balance there, that I would have rated it higher than what I'm getting ready to, and I would have enjoyed it just a little more. Again, with that said, it's probably one of the better things I've seen come out in quite a while.
Definitely. Especially being an independent, kind of off the radar kind of thing, not a big budget.
Did you find anything on the budget? I didn't see anything.
No. I know it made $666,666 on a Sunday. On a Sunday?
According to Variety, Sunday, March 24th, Late Night with the Devil took in $666,666. And I was like, bullshit, that's PR. But I tell you what, if it's truth, I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you? I don't know.
Satan's up there like, ha, fuck you, Jesus. Whoa. And then Jesus is going to be like, do something. He's like, fuck you, Satan. They have like, you know, a little competition going on.
A battle back and forth. Yeah. He's like, fuck you. No one's going to see it because you used AI, dumbass.
Yeah. He's like, I told you guys not to put AI in there. And they're like, it leaked in there. We don't even know what happened.
What would you rate it? Ooh, this looks tough. Usually our discussions raise or lower something for you.
I've went back and forth all week between 7 and 8. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the theater experience. I really enjoyed after work just going in, turning my phone off and having 2 hours of horror movie, popcorn, soda. I'm going to go 8. 8 out of 10. Here's Johnny.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
You know, from like Johnny Carson, you know, not like Johnny from The Shining.
I got what you were doing there.
8 out of 10. I almost went 7. That last 15 minutes just kind of like beat me into submission. And I'm just like, come on, I don't need this. I don't need this. It's definitely something I will show to other people.
That whole little hey Johnny thing that you just came up with, did you use AI for that? Did you like go to the computer and be like, I'm not for sure what to say, but I want to say something like this, this, and this. And that's what it gave you?
No, because this AI can't copy this, any of this, this face, or it'd probably like blow up internet. You know, like Skynet would go down.
I think if AI were to integrate with either of our brains, it would short circuit for sure. Yeah. Or tell people things that I don't tell them. Oh, God.
It would be like the robot in RoboCop that goes bad and like tries to shoot everybody.
Oh, yeah, what, Ed 2000 or whatever. Yeah. You have 6 seconds to comply. I'm just about right there with you. I went 7 commercial breaks out of 10. I mean, maybe it was me, but it seemed like there were a lot of fucking sponsor breaks. This seemed like if it was an actual late night television show, that it was a really long fucking late night television show.
That's how they could have filled that time. With an actual commercial. Not an actual commercial, but, you know, like some fun commercials.
Or like a split, like a, oh, like you see the commercial running on like the big monitor hanging above the stage. And then so you kind of like see that as you're like right behind Des Malky and they run up and go, the medium died on his way to the hospital. Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, he could have been like, who fucking put a commercial for $1.99 fish sandwich on at fucking midnight? You know, or something like that.
That would have been cool. We could have had the, was a Discount Tire Lady commercial? Was that on back in 77?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, do you know what commercial I'm talking about? Where she throws it through the window? That'd have been a good one.
If ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire Company.
Yeah, I'm going 7 out of 10. and I think I kind of made all my points throughout us babbling about this, and that is I was expecting a more straightforward story. I think it got a little muddled with the cult stuff. I thought the pacing was a little off, but I did enjoy the film. I love the aesthetic. I would have loved to give this thing an 8 or a 9, but based off everything they gave me, 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. 8 out of 10, 7 out. That's pretty strong. This is probably the highest rated movie we've done in a while.
In a while, yeah. Well, the last movie, I didn't even rate. I just said I didn't enjoy the movie.
And then what was before that? The Ward and Naked Lunch?
Which Naked Lunch neither of us cared for. You didn't like The Ward. We've been on a weird fucking journey, haven't we? It's kind of nice to come back to something new that we both like.
Green Slime was good, though. We both enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fucking Green Slime.
I think we need a commercial right now to fill some time. You think that would help?
Let's go to a commercial break that is not AI generated. It is all heart and soul, blood, sweat, and tears. Our podcast network, the PFPN.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal, providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.
So now that we've heard from our podcast network, it's time for This Day in Horror.
A date which will live in infamy.
Covering the time, April 14th to April 27th.
Hey, that's a very special day.
April 27th?
April 27th.
What's that?
Do you know what happened on April 27th in 1978?
No.
Contrary to what most people believe, I was born.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Most people think you were born on a different day?
They do.
What day do they think you were born on?
That's a story for another day.
Oh, okay.
This year, my birthday is going to be on a Saturday.
That'll be fun.
No, I'm going to be at an all-day tennis tournament with my oldest.
Oh, maybe she'll win.
Maybe she'll win and we can leave early.
You can go out and have like a celebratory dinner or something.
For who? Her or me? And then, you know what? So, okay. So we're on this tangent, right? My ex-wife, when she went into labor for my oldest, she went into labor on my birthday. So my oldest has been stealing my thunder for fucking going on 17 years now. This is bullshit.
Yeah. My oldest, their birthday's the day before mine. So.
Oh, yeah. You feel my pain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, what are we talking about? History? Yeah.
Speaking of pain, on April 19th in 1973, Soylent Green was released.
Soylent Green is people. God, I love that movie. God, I love that movie.
And then 1984, The Company of Wolves. In 1988, Sorority Babes and the Slime Bowl-O-Rama. And in 1989, Intruder. God, I love Intruder. That's a good one.
I love Intruder. There was another one of those films that I wish would have had a little more editing. I thought it was a little too much, but I fucking love that. That's one that should be remade by Sam Raimi. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Remake his early efforts and make it even better. Kind of like you did with Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. We brought up Sorority Babes at the Slime Bowl-O-Rama for some reason during history not that long ago. And remember, we were like, 88? There's no way. I thought that was like 84, 85, 86.
And some of these, I always stumble upon them like, did it come out then? Was it in theaters then? Now it's on re-released on, you know, it's hard to tell with some of these movies when they came out. I mean, King Kong back in the 50s had like a New York premiere, an LA premiere, a premiere here, a premiere downtown in Galesburg. The dates are kind of murky on some of these older ones.
I know it did have a premiere downtown in Galesburg.
What's that?
Dead Kids.
It did. Yeah. Last year.
Yeah. Thanks to you and some other people.
I was there though.
Me too.
April 22nd, 1935, Bride of Frankenstein.
Classic.
I've never seen that. I need to watch that.
You've never seen The Bride? Oh, yeah. You've told me that before.
In 1983, The Deadly Spawn. In 1989. No, 92. It was filmed in 89. It was black and white, so they couldn't put it out for 2 years. 3 years. Probably couldn't find anybody to fucking put this movie out. Have you ever seen it? Tetsuno the Iron Man. It's weird.
No.
Yeah, it's a Japanese weird, really weird body horror.
I don't think I've ever seen your eyes that big when you've like disapprovingly said weird six times. Wow, it must be bad.
It's funny because I watched it with my son Jack on the last drive-in, and one of the times that we met Joe, Bob, and Darcy, he asked him which movie he liked, and he said, "Oh, I like that movie, that Japanese movie," he said, "but I don't know what it's about." And Joe Bob said, "I don't know either." I said, "I don't know that the people that made the fucking thing know what it's about."
If Joe Bob doesn't know, then nobody knows.
And then in 1994, brain scan. On April 24th in 1955, Godzilla rides again.
What was Godzilla riding?
I don't know. I think he just came back. Like he was somewhere, then he left, then he came back, and he brought the other creature with him.
When it's rides again, it just makes me think of Godzilla on a fucking hog, you know?
Something, yeah.
Touring down Interstate 1.
He came back riding another creature, then they both attacked Tokyo. And then in 1981, The Hand. In 81 again, Cannibal Ferox. That one's fun. 97, Scream 2. And the best movie on the list. This is your favorite. 2002, Creepshow 3.
You motherfucker. I was excited, and then you hit me with that garbage. Oh.
That's got to be somebody's favorite movie, though, right? No?
I don't know. No? I can't. I don't think I've ever found one person. I've seen people who've been like, well, you know, they tried, and the one was okay, but no.
This is going to become like the benchmark of bad movies. Would you watch Son of Godzilla? Or Creepshow 3.
Oh, God. This reminds me of a movie that's currently streaming on Tubi, and I think you've talked about it before. I've seen most of it. It's Would You Rather, where fucking Jeffrey Combs makes everybody sit around a table, and you have to choose to do the horrible thing or the horrible thing, and either way, everybody's going to fucking die. That's basically the scenario you just presented me.
You said you'd watch Demoniacs over Son of Godzilla, so the needle's been moved.
Ooh. Man, I hate to say this. I would watch Creepshow 3 over Son of Godzilla, but I'd have to think about it.
I think it's like in Would You Rather cut your own eyeball with a razor blade or hit this 90-year-old grandma in the head with a hammer?
It's something, like, stuff like that. You're like,
what the fuck?
All of the scenarios are hurt yourself or hurt someone else. Everything you just presented to me was, do you want to hurt yourself or do you want to hurt yourself even more?
Ugh. You could either watch Son of Godzilla or punch a baby. Yeah.
Is it bad that I got to think about that? Whose baby?
Nobody you know.
Oh, well, okay. It makes it a little easier. Oh, God.
And the baby's already crying, so.
I'm really glad that you're not in charge of this game.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with you? The fuck? We'll call Brian's game. What the fuck is going on?
This episode of What the Fuck is Going On, I don't have any babies to punch, so I got nothing. I have nothing. I mean, I hope to make it to the theater a couple more times this month, but other than that, I got nothing.
Well, I don't have a whole lot either, although I've got tennis. So the oldest is tennis starts. Tennis will be in full swing when you hear this. So, you like that? Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
That was not AI generated. That was straight from my brain. So I'm going to be standing outside, some days getting snowed on, some days getting rained on, some days getting sunned on, watching her play tennis, which I'm not trying to down talk it. She's really good, and I enjoy watching her play. So, you know, always get out there and support everything your kids are doing. But I'll be doing that. Takes up some of my time. As I mentioned, my birthday will be coming up. If anybody wants to send me cash, I like cash. Cash is king. So you can just, I don't know. Can we start a cash app for the I Like Spooky Horror podcast? Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll do that.
Do it for whatever, yeah.
And Saturday, April 27th, just send me some cash.
We could probably start like a 503B not-for-profit organization. The Spooky Organization for Missing and Exploited Podcasters.
Oh, yeah, but then we can't keep the money. We have to give it to the babies punch to keep them quiet.
Huh.
Not a lot going on right now as far as horror. The conventions are all booked, but it's going to be a few months before I get to those. Brian just got done doing the double feature in Iowa, and I'm just working out to the nugget, gearing up the stock stuff for the shows, and that's about it.
Oh, it's coming, though. I seen that big announcement at Flashback. See that one?
Michael Grossman?
Yeah, Bert going to be able, I hope they get some other people too.
You know, when I saw him, I was, and of course people are like Tremors and people are like Family Ties. I was like, I remember him. I know him from those, but I was like, he was on that one episode of Night Court. And then again, it amazes me how Night Court, more so than Cheers, but Night Court and Cheers, I've talked about it before. All of these great horror actors have been on that damn show for one episode or two or four or whatever.
And the Warriors, that looks...
The Warriors cast reunion, which is amazing. That's one of those things where I've been talking about non-horror movies with horror elements. There's not really horror in there, but you've got that just gritty street kind of dystopian future to a degree type feel. Who doesn't love the fucking Warriors? It's kind of odd that they're going to be at Flashback, but it's also not.
It should be fun. And those are the kind of people... Those kind of actors and actresses that would be fun to hang out with, I feel like. They're going to be out upstairs at the hotel, sitting in the lobby. And I feel like they'd be approachable. Maybe they're not. You know, I feel like they...
We should make sure that we wear, you know, we've got the Dickies work shirts with our patches for the I Like a Spooky Horror podcast. We should all, and we'll hand some more out to everybody. So we show up and we'll start like snapping like West Side Story style. Da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. See if they'll gang fight us
together.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool as shit. I wonder if they're going to have him there. I forgot the guy's name.
The one that clicks the bottles together?
Yeah. I can't. Man, his name eludes me and I feel terrible right now. Of course, he was top dollar in The Crow.
You'll have to like do it in the middle of the convention and see if anybody says, Warriors.
I'm doing it. I'm bringing bottles.
That's it. We're done.
We're done. Yeah. And probably after we do something like that, we're either going to, everybody's going to get a good laugh or we're never going to be invited back. It might be the last time you ever hear from us here at the I Like a Spooky Horror podcast. So make sure to go visit our past episodes in case there are no more future episodes. There's everything from the feature flagship show to Brian's appendages where he talks about free horror movies. Screaming. I like that. Yeah. That was not AI generated, straight from the brain. Screaming from the Crackle, Redbox, and also Popcorn Flicks apps. Let's see, we got Indie Spotlight with Brian, myself, and Leah Stalker of Pure Macabre, where we get together once a month and talk about all things indie, from films to comics to authors to music. It's always an interesting, fun, good time. We're always talking about things that we haven't even heard of, so it's great for us to be exposed to new stuff, great for you to be exposed to new stuff. How many more times am I going to say, maybe we'll bring back Spill the Guts? Brian says there's so much great news and it's killing me to not have time to do it. And I will resurrect that fucking thing from the dead sometime soon. Am I forgetting anything?
I don't think so.
You do a lot of cool videos.
I mean, they're not that cool, but sure.
A couple of them are like the funniest things I've ever seen. The rest of them, it's kind of like your horror history list. Like some of them are like, holy shit. And then there's some that are like, ah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm going to go get some bottles and walk around the neighborhood and click them together tonight. I'll probably get shot, but that's all right.